today, April 28th, is the brand new feast day of St. Louis de Montfort. It was added to the universal calendar a few years ago by Blessed John Paul II, who was such a great devotee of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. This feast day was always celebrated in Canada and France, but fortunately it's now part of the universal church calendar. So today, I'd like to talk first about how St. Louis de Montfort really ushered in the great Marian age in which we've been living now for the last 300 or 400 years. St. Louis de Montfort was born in 1673, and after his life promoting such great devotion to our Blessed Mother, it truly ushered in the Marian age. Because then in 1830, Our Lady would appear at Rudebach and give her miraculous medal. And then a few years after that, the Pope would define the Immaculate Conception as an official dogma of the faith, even though it was believed for thousands of years. It was officially defined in 1854. Then Our Lady would appear again at Lourdes in 1858. She would appear also at La Salette in France in 1870. She would go to Our Lady of Knock, appear in Ireland in 1880. The only apparition where she actually never said any words. It was her presence that was the message. Plus, with the Irish, she couldn't get a word in edgewise. But it was her presence. Then 1917, she appeared at Fatima and gave her message there. 1920s, 1930s, Barang and Benno, Belgium, approved apparitions. Then 1921, through the spirituality of St. Louis de Montfort, the Legion of Mary began. 1921, Maximilian Kolbe read the writings of Louis de Montfort, started the Knights of the Immaculata. In the 1920s, Father Kentenich in Germany founded the Schoenstatt movement devoted to our Blessed Mother, also influenced by St. Louis de Montfort. 1947, the Blue Army was started to help promote the Rosary and help to end communism. 1950, the Assumption was defined as a dogma of the faith. Then, of course, Vatican II, the Great Marian Council, gave Our Lady a new title, Mother of the Church. And then Pope John Paul II, the great Marian Pope, Pope for what, for 27 years, Our Lady's Pope, whose motto was taken from Louis de Montfort, Totus Tuus, I am all yours, Jesus, through Mary. So who was this great St. Louis de Montfort that ushered in this Marian age? He was born in France in 1673. He only lived to be 43 years of age. He was ordained a priest in the year 1700. So he was only a priest for 16 years. And yet during his life, he wrote this great book, The True Devotion to Our Lady, which was kept hidden for 126 years until it was rediscovered. Then he wrote, of course, The Secret of Mary, The Secret of the Rosary, the best book ever written on the Rosary. He wrote a book called The Friends of the Cross, Love of Eternal Wisdom, and 24,000 verses of poetry. So he did an awful lot in his 16 years as a priest. He gave over 200 missions throughout France to teach this tender and true devotion to Jesus through Mary, teaching people how to renew their baptismal vows and promises, how to consecrate themselves to Jesus through our Blessed Mother. When we look at his childhood for a moment, we find he was the second of 18 brothers and sisters. His mom and dad must have become a saint as well, right? With that many children running around. But actually, many of them died in infancy. It was very common with either miscarriages or children dying so young that 10 of them died in infancy or early childhood. But the remainder that went on to live, the eight that went on to live, four of them became priests and four became nuns. What a remarkable family. And Louis Grignon was his last name, was baptized in the town of Montfort. And so as he got older, he would never call himself Louis Grignon, his family name. He would call himself Louis of Montfort, or Louis de Montfort, because that was where he was baptized. And baptism meant so much to St. Louis. He was a brilliant young man. so devoted to Our Lady, so focused on Christ and the Eucharist, so prayerful. He was part of the sodality of Our Blessed Mother as a young boy. He had the zeal for souls. He would teach catechism to children. He was so poor that he could hardly go off to the seminary. He only had one suit of clothes that somebody had given him. So when he went to the seminary of Saint-Sulpice, he had to walk 700 miles to Paris. And on his way, he traded his only suit of clothes with a beggar. So when he showed up at the seminary door, he was dressed in rags. But they let him in anyway. He had to work his way through the seminary by volunteering at the library and keeping vigil with the corpses throughout the night in the chapel. And that's where he did his prayer and his spiritual reading. He read every book on Our Lady in the entire library of the seminary. He was ordained in the year 1700, sent as a chaplain of a hospital in the poorhouses. He worked in the slums, and he would gather the people to pray the rosary and do devotions and processions. He would begin to go around giving missions, and there he would have the people bring their bad books and pictures, and he would set bonfires and burn the bad books and pictures. He would hear confessions and preach and teach people to renew their baptismal vows to Jesus through Mary. So he would always travel on foot. He always carried his Bible, his breviary, and his rosary. He also would carve little statues of the Blessed Mother as he walked, and he would write poetry. And he was known as the kind Father de Montfort. Well, he was kicked out of almost every diocese that he was in by the bishops, and so he decided to walk to Rome. So he walked 1,000 miles to Rome and said, "Holy Father, what do you want me to do? This is what I'm preaching, this is what I'm teaching, this is what I'm doing. I'd like to go to Canada and be a missionary." And the Pope said, "No. Go back to France, and here's a document, and show this to everybody that wants to kick you out of their diocese, to all the bishops." And it was a letter declaring him an apostolic missionary, that he was one of the Pope's special preachers. He could preach anywhere in the world with the Pope's permission. And so he would, for the next years of his life, give over 200 missions until he died at the age of 43, because he was poisoned, they say, by some of the Jansenists. They gave him some soup. He ate some of it. Did not kill him right away, but it weakened him. And it took 2 years for him to slowly die. 10,000 people attended his funeral. He was beatified in 1888 and canonized in 1947. And God willing, will one day be called a doctor of the church. That's what we're hoping. His statue is placed in St. Peter's, in the Basilica, along with these other great saints that are honored in St. Peter's Basilica. And one last thing. During his life, he tried to make a huge Calvary scene. 300,000 cubic feet of earth was moved to build this huge Calvary. The cross, the crucifix, was 70 feet tall, all life-size stations of the cross. And he had, this was just about to be dedicated, but the Jansenists convinced the bishops that it was, let's say, a secret passageway for like the English to come in to destroy France. And so it was all completely destroyed, his life's work. But I'm told it's been recently rebuilt over in France, and that his life work was not a Calvary scene. It was producing the image of Jesus in all these souls. That was his life's work, to help produce saints. And he certainly did that through his writings and his preaching of the rosary, and especially his true devotion that has produced countless saints all throughout the centuries, especially John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Frank Duff, Fidel Quinn. Countless people have been influenced by his writings. So that was his great legacy. Not a Calvary scene, but producing the image of Jesus in countless souls. I'll give you a blessing now with the relic of St. Louis de Montfort. The intercession of St. Louis de Montfort, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.